Hello, so now we'll be reading the application of the Tirukkural in today's world. The key questions in running an enterprise are what to do, when to do, where to do, and how to do. What to do, when to do, and where to do are part of the planning and strategy process, whereas how to do is more part of the organizing process. Management essentially consists of planning, organizing, and control. In the planning stage, one has to decide what to do, choose the right place and the appropriate timing for the venture based on various considerations, including core competencies. Organizing is predominantly organizing of people, putting the right people on the right job, from the CEO to the junior most officer, is the key for success of any venture. A certain code of conduct and methodology also has to be put in place for people to execute their work. Then there have to be adequate controls to ensure that the work is done as per plan. The next big question is deciding who can lead, where the knowledge and personality of the person, his communication skills, and the credibility that he commands are key considerations. The Tirukkural covers all these aspects in detail. I have divided the journey broadly into two sections, management and leadership. Under management, I have covered planning, organizing, and control. Leadership examines personality traits, communication skills, and credibility. I have also compared the tenets of Tirukkural with contemporary views on these subjects. So we begin management. An overview, modern management philosophy. Management guru Peter F. Drucker, in this book, The Essential Drucker, observes, management is thus what tradition used to call a liberal art. Liberal because it deals with the fundamentals of knowledge, self-knowledge, wisdom, and leadership. Art because it is also concerned with the practice and application. Managers draw on all the knowledge and insights of humanities and the social sciences. It would be fair to say that management is more than a set of guidelines and techniques or principles. Important as these may be, one could well ask if these principles are complex at all. More likely, quite the opposite. This is possibly because management has more to do with human beings than anything else. There is also an abundance of evidence available that lots of people with no formal education in management, or at times no formal education at all, have been very successful at managing their departments or even enterprises. The most common, if overlooked, example is that of a traditional housewife who is in the process of seemingly mundane task of housekeeping, manages matters relating to cooking, domestic purchases, repairs, and the general management of the house, and in the process interacts with a variety of persons, both providers of inputs, grocer, domestic help, etc., and the recipients of services and customers or family members. This provides the rest of the family with the important benefit of a well-run home that supports them in their respective pursuits. With her self-confidence and determination, she often inspires their family members, helping them tide over difficult situations. There are also several examples of literally uneducated business persons who have run their businesses, often fairly large ones, very successfully. A friend once told me that in matters involving human beings, the truth is essentially simple. I have experienced that to be largely true of management, which is based on a set of a few relatively simple principles. The task of management is to make people capable of joint performance. It is only natural to expect the persons comprising the organization to have a variety of strengths and weaknesses. Management is about making their strengths more effective and their weaknesses less relevant to the organization. An organization requires a unified commitment to a set of common goals and objectives. Since the working of an organization involves the working of a number of people towards realization of these common goals, there is also the need for a set of shared values based on which this can happen. While the goals and objectives provide the content of the script, detailing what the organization must achieve and work towards, the values provide the context within which this is to be done. The task of the management is to set these goals, objectives, and values, and to clearly and constantly demonstrate its commitments to these so as to set an example for its other members. The persons who make the organization are likely to participate in working towards the organizational goals only if, in the process, they are also able to realize one or more of their personal goals. These personal goals may include a desire to grow and develop, be capable of handling more complex functions, or be able to take up higher responsibility. Management must facilitate such growth and development. So the process of learning and teaching must also accompany the other operational processes in the organization on a continuous basis. The working of an organization also involves people of different backgrounds coming together and interacting with each other, more so in today's globalized context. Therefore, management also has much to do with culture. While managers in different companies or countries may apply similar management principles, how they do it may depend on their local culture. Japan is an example of how its managers imported management concepts and successfully grew them in their own cultural soil. Another aspect that assumes great importance is the success of management is communication. If used effectively, this can bring in a series of benefits such as high motivational levels and feeling of involvement in individual members, better teamwork, avoidance of misunderstandings, periodic inflow of relevant information to management, and consequently better operational control. Communication also includes information about what is to be accomplished as a team as well as individually, and periodic feedback on the progress being made. The concept of responsibility for the company and for each of its members is also very important for the purpose of achieving organizational goals. Responsibility, incidentally, is an unusually ambivalent word which is used to convey both praise when things go right and blame when things go wrong. It is therefore suggested that for any person, the meaning of being reasonable be taken as being the cause of whatever may result. Another task of management is to set such responsibilities. Ultimately, good management must translate into output, productivity, bottom line, performance of management and organization, market standing, personal development for its employees, quality, and financial strength of the organization. Moreover, these aspects need to be constantly improved. But the single most important aspect is the customer, to whom the organization provides the goods or services it produces. A satisfied customer is the real end product of an organization. In this connection, 3i Infotech's foray into the real banking products is worth noting. Although we spent considerable efforts in developing our solutions in hope that there was a huge market potential, for the initial 12 to 18 months, we struggled to get the first customer even. The moment we got the first customer through demonstration of our domain knowledge in banking, Our team concentrated on satisfying his every need. We ensured the customer's delight, not surprisingly. This resulted in our retail banking product going to several banks internationally and becoming a winner. Management has been practiced for a long time, from the days of the ancient civilizations of China, the Indus Valley, and Egypt. For example, it would have taken managerial skills of an extraordinary nature to build the pyramids by organizing large builders 5,000 years ago in Egypt. But that too was just with the help of tools available in those days. Though practiced since ancient times, management has been formally taught as a discipline only since the Second World War. In just around 50 years, management has emerged as the fastest growing business function and its study the fastest growing academic discipline. While it is taught as a series of techniques, the task before managers is ultimately how to put these to use in a productive way in their respective organizations. Management in most business schools is taught as a bundle of techniques, such as the one of budgeting. To be sure, management, like any other work, has its own tools and its own techniques. However, the essence of management is not techniques and procedures, but to make knowledge productive. Management, as in the Thirukkural. The Thirukkural enunciates the variety of principles indispensable to modern management. Management fundamentally consists of planning and strategy, initial and periodic, organizing people and resources, controls to ensure that what is planned is achieved. The Thirukkural defines the job of the leader, prince or chief executive officer, as that of planning and strategy, earning revenue, preserving what has been earned, and spending it wisely. What is required for management is knowledge, leadership qualities to make the knowledge productive. Simple. Thrust in management schools. In today's world, management studies emphasize on acquiring knowledge in the areas of planning, organizing, and control. In management schools, we are taught various tools that are required to analyze each area and how to plan, organize, and control these tools. In management schools, one can take up specialization in areas of finance, marketing, and human resource. A student of financial management learns how to read a balance sheet, how to read a profit and loss account, what a cash flow statement is and what it signifies, how companies are analyzed and evaluated, the entire gamut of shares, stocks, valuations, bonds, yields, etc., various legal and accounting issues, different perspective of numbers, shareholders' point of view, lenders' point of view, customers' point of view, employees' point of view. The student of marketing management learns about the characteristic of the market, the behavioral pattern of different players in the market, factors that affect the market, strategies played by different players, and circumstances under which each strategy is effective, how different companies survive, penetrate, and grow, how companies stay ahead by differentiating themselves from others. Now, when we move on to the human resources management, the following matters are taught: how to identify and recruit people, how to manage people, how to make them highly productive, the different behavior patterns of people and how these influence their work, various yardsticks for measuring performance of people, how to nurture and retain talent. The thrust in Thirukkural. The thrust of management education is on acquiring knowledge relevant to the respective field. As indicated earlier, in management school, various tools and techniques are taught. Even if one reads management books, they invariably talk about various phases of growth of a company, what strategy to adopt at various points, sales strategy and human resources strategy. They do not talk about what is required to make all those strategies work. While thousands of people may read all these theories and strategies, only one or two are able to execute and succeed. Why? Here I found Thirukkural very lucid, because it deals with some eternal fundamental principles that are elaborated here. I'll go through these in the next session. Stay tuned, folks.